The 25th of Kislev by Butterfly Cross,
as read by Clairvoyant.
I have been given the task of telling this story, and it was made clear that I must do with minimal twinkling, and I wasn't to offer you a single lemon drop. Would you prefer a cockroach cluster, perhaps? No? Ah, well then, sit back. Yes, get comfortable in your chair, and I shall recount to you the interesting tale of how the headmaster and deputy headmistress fell in love. No, not that story, for goodness sakes. Minerva and I prefer to keep some things private. Actually, now that you mention it, this is a rather private story also. Why don't you scurry on up to the room of requirement and settle down, and I'll just make my way to a portrait upstairs. Wouldn't do for every busybody in the castle to hear this information. Hurry along now, and I'll meet you there. You look a bit winded. Did the staircases take you on a ride? This castle certainly has a sense of humor. No, dear, I'm not laughing at you. Sweet Merlin, you're almost as sensitive as he is. I am getting on with the story. Hush and listen. It all began in 2006, when Minerva decided to take a decade off and be a grandmother. Severus had come back as her deputy headmaster and was serving as the potions professor, along with being the Slytherin head of house. Don't interrupt! I'll explain everything! Surely, you must know he was innocent. People had such idiotic ideas about me leaving a pensive memory or something equally as easy to manipulate to convince the Order and our co-workers that he was innocent. Ha! When Tom died, it wasn't a small box that appeared in Minerva's office. It was a trunk. Inside was a handwritten letter for every single member of the Hogwarts staff and order, along with an individual password that they could ask my portrait in order to confirm that I had written the letter. I also had a very festive, magical, three-dimensional, two-foot-tall version of myself that spoke to everyone. I must remember to thank the Yankee wizard, Master Lucas, for that bit of inspiration. And so they accepted his innocence. Some took longer than others, and it still didn't help anyone's attitude, but Phileas was practically beside himself to be able to hand the deputy headmaster responsibilities over to Severus. We had lost only one member of staff, Professor Vector, and Minerva had snatched up Miss Hermione Granger to take over, before the girl could follow in Harry and Mr. Weasley's footsteps and become an Auror. She's a frightfully stern teacher, running her classroom with an iron fist. But then I suppose it's difficult when you return so soon after being a student, and the students still think of you as a child. Arithmetic was always her favorite subject, and it only took a year or so to relax outside the classroom, though she maintains a level of discipline inside her classroom, close to that of Severus's. The only two other additions to Hogwarts were people to fill the Defense Against the Dark Arts position. And Minerva became rather creative there, hiring a married couple to switch off as teachers each year. That also allowed her to give Professor Remus Lupin the Gryffindor head of house position. It really would have been too much on poor Professor Granger's shoulders. Then she brought in Angelina Johnson, who managed to not only take care of the Transfiguration Professor position, but give Remus a hand with the Gryffindor Quidditch team. But back to the point of my story, which was when Minerva decided to take a holiday for a decade or so and gave Severus the headmaster position. There was squawking and squabbling. No one enjoys the deputy job. And we do try to keep a balance, so a woman was needed. And Professor Nymphadora Lupin, whom everyone still called Tonks, flat refused because she was taking over the Slytherin head of house position. Pomona didn't want the responsibilities either. Angelina was worried more about Quidditch than paperwork, and no one was in favor of giving it to Sybil. So you see, don't you? Hermione was really the only choice. I mean, you see it, right? Severus didn't. For the entire summer, and the first part of the year, the two of them fought like measles and dogs. Every little thing was nitpicked and harped on. It didn't help that with his promotion,
He had hired Victor Crumb to take on the potions teaching, since he was only now playing for the national team. Then things changed, during a staff meeting of all places.
"Miss Granger."
"Professor Granger," she snarled from the opposite end of the very long table. The staff had separated them after the August pre-planning staff meeting, when hexes had been thrown, and it had taken Phileas 3 hours to clean up the mess.
"Granger," he barked back, "explain why you have managed to evade Hogsmeade duty for 2 months straight."
"Why, you little—" "You assigned me to the weekend detentions for the last 2 months, headmaster," she snapped out, rapidly tapping her quill against her parchment agenda. The neat parchment agendas that she had spent an hour copying for the entire staff, the ones that were now obsolete since Severus changed everything at the last minute. "Excuses. Everyone must take their fair share of Hogsmeade duties, and since you have forced others to pick up your slack, you can plan the Halloween ball by yourself."
"I think not."
The staff swung their heads back and forth, as if the quaffle was flying from one keeper to the other, with no chance of interception.
"Severus, perhaps I could take care of that with Tonks and Remus," Pomona offered softly.
Remus and Tonks agreed with vigorous nods. They had learned early on to disarm the pair, and only allow Pomona and Phileas to speak when Hermione and Severus got started.
"Absolutely not," Severus answered, and was drowned out by Hermione's, "Perfect, thank you."
Eyes narrowed. Severus rocked back in his chair.
"Are the timetables for spring prepared?" he asked.
"Everyone hasn't given me their preferences, Snape," she answered, mimicking his pose with a scowl on her face.
"More excuses, valid reasons.
We'll be leaving now."
Phileas hopped down off his chair and pointed to the door. "You two seem to have everything under control." Hermione and Severus ignored the group leaving, their argument over the deadline for paperwork carrying through the empty corridor. The early November staff meeting was no better, a fight breaking out over the Yule Ball and if Hogwarts would have one or not. Then Severus insisted he was leaving and would not remain in the castle for the break, as all but two Ravenclaws would be going home. Tonks and Remus were taking the one Gryffindor and two Slytherins back to their own home for the holidays, in an attempt to continue building a bridge between the two houses. Pomona Sprout was sending all her little Hufflepuffs home, and going with Neville Longbottom and his wife Ginny on a whirlwind trip around South America to bring back new plants. Phileas, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you looked at it, had been asked to present a series of lectures on advanced charms and their uses against dark magic, so could not remain with the students in his house. So it was with great aplomb and malice that Severus rejected Hermione's leave request in the middle of the staff meeting. He flung the parchment on the table, and everyone watched as it skidded down to her end. A large red, "Denied," magically charmed on the top.
"You bastard," she said, and for the first time in their arguments, it was tears, not anger, creeping into her voice. "You knew this was my first Christmas without my parents. You knew I had plans to be with Harry and Ron."
Only Phileas and Pomona, who had known Severus for years, recognized the flicker in his eyes as regret. It wouldn't have surprised either of them to know that Severus really had forgotten about Hermione's parents dying and her situation.
"Plans change, Miss Granger," he muttered, his voice hard and frustrated. The rest of the staff failed to notice the lack of malice, their attention caught up in tightly balled fists of the now standing deputy headmistress.
"Go to hell, Severus!"
She flung the words out at him, and pulling her robe tightly around her body, she left the staff lounge, every pair of eyes following her movements, and watched as the last glimpse of her swished quickly down the hallway.
"You bugger that up, Severus."
"Shut up, Angelina."
"I could have taken the holidays, Severus."
You have Quidditch practice in Bulgaria, Victor.
Someone else could have done it, Tonks muttered. This discussion is over, professors. Severus glared around the room. Meeting adjourned. He glowered at the group as they filed out, murmurs filling his ears. Remus was the worst, stopping by his chair to lean down and bare his teeth. You really don't know how not to be a bastard, do you, Snivellus? It was in that moment, when the hated werewolf turned almost friendly acquaintance, insulted Snape by using the name he had never before defiled his tongue with, that Severus realized just how royally he had fucked up. He whipped his head around to look Remus in the eye, and his heart stopped for a moment when the feral, angry wolf gleam became visible. May you rot in hell. Alone. Even that would be too good for him, Tonks argued, grabbing her husband's arm and pulling him out of the room. Only after the room was empty did Severus allow his head to drop into his hands. He sat still, in the quiet, for a few minutes, before slowly standing and making his way to the outer grounds of Hogwarts. Come inside and talk to me. You'll freeze to death out here, son. That would solve the world's problems, Severus answered. He was crouched down beside the white marble monolith, staring at the small painting of Albus Dumbledore. Now, Severus, it's not that bad. Please, old man, when I die, I won't be receiving the hero's tomb. I'll be lucky if they bury my body. Severus, talk to her. Explain you forgot and say you're sorry, and then stay at Hogwarts yourself. But this is the first year I have the chance to return home for the holidays, Albus. You would be back in time for Christmas. Consider it, my boy.
It's of no use. She hates me, he said morosely. They all hate me. She wouldn't hate you if you would explain the situation. I'm not being persecuted and ridiculed for this also, Albus. I've told you every year, and I've told you every year, that someone else needs to know. You won't be ridiculed, especially not by Professor Granger. My answer is still no. From her place, disillusioned behind a tree, Hermione could hear the resignation in Albus's voice when he replied in a language she was unfamiliar with. A Leben auf der, a Geschäft hab nicht, alter Bach. Es tut mir behang. I know, Albus, I know. But my life is set, and this is who I am. Go then, with some sort of peace, Severus. I will say El Mole Rachamim for you. The tall man stood, shaking out the accumulated dustings of snow on his long black coat. Hermione watched as he slipped a small stone out of an inner pocket and rubbed it between his thumb and forefinger before placing it carefully on a small ledge. She blinked and almost missed him touching the tip of his wand to the rock and its shimmering before it faded out of sight. She tugged her outer cape tightly around her knees, sitting still and silent. When the last crunch of his footfalls faded away into the silence of the darkening dusk, she rose and approached the tomb. Her fingertips followed the sharp edge of the tomb's ridges, and when she slowly rested them on the ledge where she had seen him set his wand, she encountered a surprising number of pebbles. "He needs you." Albus's voice gave her a start, and her hand twitched, sending a cascade of invisible rocks to the ground. "What is he not telling us?" she asked, kneeling down in the snow. "That is not for me to speak of." Albus gave her a wink. "But I feel certain you will be able to discover his secret. He's unquestionably given you enough hints. Can you tell me what language you were speaking?" "I can tell you nothing but this." She leaned forward in anticipation. "This is the first year Severus Snape, as an adult, will be true to himself." Sighing at the cryptic answer, Hermione rose to trail Severus in his trek back to the castle. She idly tucked one of the disillusioned rocks into her pocket
and all the while walking back, pondered the mystery that was Severus Snape. The insufferable Chit was late for yet another of their twice-weekly meetings to address any concerns with the teachers and students. He had waited for a full 20 minutes before nearly headless Nick had appeared, telling him that she had been stuck in the library, but was now on her way. Another 10 minutes had passed, and he could hear her footsteps on the circular staircase. "You're late, Miss Granger," he snapped, when at last she burst through the door. "You're right, Severus. I'm sorry. It won't happen again." She thought he rather resembled a dumbfounded owl, the way his eyes blinked and his mouth gaped at not only her use of his first name, but also her sincere apology. "Should we begin, sir?" She took her place in the high-backed leather chair, conjuring up a small lap desk for her papers. "I have on my calendar that we needed to begin discussing next year's prefects and heads, and also the revisions that Tonks and Remus brought forth for the defense syllabi." He spent the next hour trying to goad her into an argument. Her even temper shocked him, and caused no small amount of frustration. "Is there anything else you need me to prepare for the late November staff meeting?" "No," he answered gruffly. "Then I'll be on my way. I have a study group meeting in an hour." He gave a sharp nod, more at her retreating figure, and a low growl at the twinkling eyes of the painting across from his desk. "What have you done, you dodgy old codger?" "Me," the portrait answered. "Why, I haven't done a thing." "Likely story," the headmaster replied, pinching the bridge of his nose tightly between his right thumb and forefinger. "I'm not asking her."
"You always ask her, Angelina." "Exactly, Tonks, which is why you can take Hermione's wand for this meeting."
Remus gave them both a sharp tap when the object of their conversation appeared at the end of the hallway, walking towards the room.
"Good afternoon, Angelina, Remus, Tonks," she smiled brightly, and reached into her sleeve. "Who's holding this today?"
Remus raised his eyebrows as her wand was slipped between his hand and Tonks' elbow.
"Excuse me," she said, slipping past the group and moving to the table, where she began to place the meeting's agendas and notes in front of each chair.
"She's never just given it to us before," Angelina whispered.
"Oh, bloody hell,"
Tonks whispered back, before Remus pushed the both of them into the lounge. "Sit, ladies," he ordered, directing them to their seats. He gave a nod to Phileas, who wandered in shortly behind them. The charms professor smiled broadly, before stepping back outside the doorway in order to catch Severus and confiscate his wand.
"Can we begin?"
Severus snarled, his impatience with the two students who had been hexing each other earlier in the hallway bubbling over into his dealings with the staff. "First on the agenda, housepoint tallies."
"Yes,"
Pomona began. "We really must talk about the Hufflepuffs who had points taken off for being late to class when they were helping a first year to the hospital wing."
"It didn't take 7 of them, Pomona. One or two could have done it," Angelina argued.
"That's not the way of the Hufflepuff house," the squat woman huffed back. Hermione kept her body straight. To everyone around her, she gave the impression of diligently paying attention to the ramblings of the other professors. Harry and Ron would have noticed a slightly twitchy look in her eyes, the one that betrayed her nervousness with the situation. She had to make it convincing, without anyone asking questions. She lacked Slytherin skills of subterfuge, but had the Gryffindor loyalty that would keep her mouth shut, no matter the consequences. His secret was safe, even if it meant everyone finding out he had a secret. "Granger has the revised holiday schedule," Severus's voice cut through the fog in her brain and brought her back to reality.
"That's Professor Granger, sir," she replied automatically, while gesturing towards a sheet of light cream parchment
with a dancing holly leaf in the corner. The Hogwarts Express will be arriving at 9 in the morning on Wednesday, December 13th. Angelina, Victor, Remus, and Tonks will be responsible for loading Slytherins and Gryffindors between 9 and 10. Phileas, Pomona, Hooch, and I will load the Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws between 10 and 11. The house ghosts have agreed to do a sweep of the castle for stragglers, and the train should leave promptly at 11:15. The Ministry of Magic delivered Phileas's portkey this morning. It's time to transport you at 3 in the afternoon. Any luggage you would like to send over early can be transported with these tags. Hermione paused to slide a small stack of leather luggage tags, tied together with a thin black cord, towards the charms professor. The key word is listed on the inside of each tag, and you can send them as early as December 1st, she continued. Remus and Tonks are cleared to leave with the three students on the Hogwarts Express. I've already gotten permission slips from each set of parents. Pomona, Ginny, Owl this morning, asking you to flew to their house early on the 14th. She also sent a packing list. Again, Hermione paused to float an envelope towards Professor Sprout, the curly handwriting of the youngest Weasley turned Longbottom, covering the outside. Victor, you and Angelina are cleared to apparate to Bulgaria any time after the train leaves. The following staff are approved for leave after 5 in the evening on Thursday, December 14th. Hooch, Sybil, Hagrid, Pince, Pumphrey, and Firenze. Headmaster, the Board of Governors has been notified of your leave of absence from the morning of the 15th until the 27th of December. All staff must report back to Hogwarts by noon on Monday, January 8th, to prepare for the return of the students on Wednesday, January 10th. Any questions? She finally raised her head from the parchment and looked around at her friends and co-workers. She could tell that Remus and Tonks were still rather upset about the holiday situation. But in light of the information she had discovered about Severus, she had realized it was for the best. Now, if only her friends could keep their mouths shut. Her stomach clenched when she saw Remus jerk his hands to the top of the table and open his mouth. I am remaining here for the duration of the holidays, with Miss Sarah Craven and Mr. William Blanchard, both of Ravenclaw, she began, attempting to stave off a fight. I still do not understand why Headmaster Snape cannot remain at Hogwarts, Remus said, gritting his teeth at the man sitting on the other end of the room. His fists clenched. Severus, Hermione countered, already has plans, one that are as unavoidable as your own, Remus. The decision is final. If there is no other business, Severus interrupted, this meeting is adjourned. The attention turned away from Hermione as Snape rose from his seat and swept out of the room, his bat-like robes doing the classic Severus billow behind him. Hermione, Tonks leaned forward, and was stunned into silence when Hermione followed her supervisor's actions by gracefully rising from her chair and plucking her wand out of Remus's pocket as she left the staff lounge. The echoes of her, "It will be fine, Tonks," blended into the noise of her shoes tapping on the hard stone floors. "Ron is right. I swear that girl is mental sometimes," Angelina sighed, voicing the sentiments of the other professors. A sharp rap on the door of her quarters brought Hermione out of a sound sleep and to her feet. "Coming!" she called out, tying her house robe tightly around her body. She was generally more reserved around the students, but with only Sarah and Will left in the castle, and it being the start of the holidays, she was feeling a bit lax. "Children! What can I do for you?" she asked, as she swung the door open. "Severus!" "Professor Granger," he responded, giving a nod with his head. "What can I do for you, sir?" Her hands were busy trying to flatten the untidy locks of her hair. "I've brought you a gift." His voice was hushed, the quietest Hermione had ever heard him speak. When she stopped worrying about her hair, She noticed that he was straining not to shuffle from foot to foot like a teenager.
"A Christmas present?" she asked, staring dazed at the small green and red package in his left hand. "It is customary for the headmaster to give a gift to his deputy." She backed away from the doorframe, gesturing him into the room. "Here." He thrust the package at her and folded his arms across his body.
"Thank you,"
she answered, carefully turning the box over and sliding a finger underneath the wrapping paper. He tapped his foot impatiently as she methodically removed the wrapping paper.
"Get on with it,"
he barked out, causing her to smile broadly.
"Opening it is half the fun, Severus."
"I don't recall giving you leave to use my first name," he grumbled.
"You may call me Hermione."
"I don't want to call you Hermione. Now hurry up." She chuckled softly, cradling the silver paper box in her hands. Lifting the lid off, she let out a gasp.
It's...
"There is a witch in France who makes her living turning Muggle photographs into wizarding ones. Potter found the picture of your parents for me."
"It's perfect," she whispered, lifting the small wooden frame out and settling it onto the mantle of her fireplace. "I have a gift for you also. Wait here."
He watched as she scurried into the bedroom, and he could hear the shuffling of boxes deep in her wardrobe. She looked in even more disarray when she returned, a long, flat, blue and silver box in her hands.
"I wasn't going to give it to you this year," Hermione said, offering him the present. "But I want you to know."
He betrayed his own meticulous tendencies by cautiously removing the paper and opening the box. They stood in silence for almost 10 minutes, the serene look on the headmaster's face quashing all of Hermione's fears of how her gift would be received. "It's almost dusk. You'll need to be leaving soon," she finally said, looking beyond him out the window.
"I have a moment."
"I didn't tell anyone," she added.
"Your plans with Potter and Weasley?"
"They're coming here for Christmas Eve in morning.
Dobby and Winky are looking forward to cooking a huge dinner for the five of us."
"Perhaps I will return early." His voice trailed off, his eyes still trained on the silver object in the box. Her tiny hand covered his wrist and brought him back.
"I would like that, Severus."
He watched as she reached her hand into the box, trailing her fingertips along the tips of the 9 points. "The Shamus is from Bethlehem. The others are from Jerusalem. I've enclosed the card for the wizard who dips the candles, should you want more for next year."
"I've never had one of my own," he said.
"Remember me when you say the Sheherianu, please."
He nodded, tucking the lid back on the box and moving towards the exit.
"Good night, Hermione," he finally said before the door closed on him.
"Shalom, Severus," she said quietly. She stood for another 45 minutes, watching the sunset and the darkness overtake the forbidden forest. Small snow flurries had begun, covering the ground with the pure ice crystals. Never had she felt so free.
They've never spent the holidays apart since that year. He returned to her the morning of Christmas Eve, belittling her friends and grousing at her. And she loves him as much as he adores her. It's quite a sight, really.
"Oh? The holidays?"
"She travels with him to Israel every year, though he's promised when they have children to begin celebrating at home. And they still let me play Santa Claus through the painting frame."
Author's notes. Thank you to my beta, Drakian. This one-shot was written for the SSHG Fic Exchange Winter 2006 for prompt number 25, Pomom. This is absolutely one of those fics that I wish I could have had a very long time to work on because the prompt was so awesome, but I enjoyed the challenge of working quickly, and I hope you all enjoy the results. All Jewish knowledge came from my own background,
and www.jewfaq.org. Translations and explanations follow. Yiddish Conversation at the Tomb of Albus Dumbledore. You should live and be well. I don't care, old goat. It sorrows me. The Shehecheyanu is the blessing said on the first evening of Hanukkah. Blessed are you, Lord, our God Sovereign of the universe, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this season.
Now that was dancing, see?